Welcome to Brain Stew Wrestling. Pro wrestling talk without the PG filter. How is everyone doing this fine evening? My name is Sammy. Joining me in studio is Michael, no longer hipster punchy, Falcone.
What's up, guys? How was your New Year's week?
It was good, but that's not what's important right now. And what is important is, I can't believe my eyes myself, the one and only KP Burke is back in studio.
Hey, let me out of rehab, man. It's good to see you guys.
I mean, this is the rare time where you said you would show up and you actually showed up.
Yeah, like, it's a Lyft. All thanks to Lyft. You guys get sponsored by Lyft yet or no?
No, but we should.
Yeah, we need to because that's the reason I'm here.
All right, the number to call, 908-854-4228. That's 908-854-4228. Or you could just chat with us on YouTube, on the BrainStewRadio.com website. Or if you're on my Facebook page, chat on the Facebook page. I have a bit of a cold, I believe I'm coming down with, and my throat is killing me. So to solve that, I am making beer great again by drinking Yingling. So this is going to be an interesting show, possibly, if I keep drinking this. Anyhow,
I want to point out something, because we did the awards last week. I do want to point out,
this is the most fun shows of the year,
yeah,
by the way.
What's funny is we actually had some changes in a few things, because a lot of the polls ran for more than a day, like ran a week. Certain things like AJ Styles still ran away with the rest of the year. Zayn Nakamura still won match of the year.
We can't change it now. It's 2017.
No, I want to point out, it's kind of funny, though, like how different it would have been had we given them that extra week. Because, like, Bobby Roode would have
like
won.
Like I originally said, we should have.
Well, I mean, it was the end of 2016. So, but, like, Bobby Roode would have won entrance theme of the year.
Still would have disagreed. Nakamura still the entrance theme of the year.
Wait, he didn't win?
No, AJ
no!
won.
No! AJ Styles
fans,
won.
Fans voted AJ Styles after the cutoff.
Twitter voted AJ Styles that they don't want none as entrance theme of the year. When I say you're idiots and Shinsuke Nakamura's theme should have won. And because what other entrance theme makes an entire arena just erupt with in cheers and singing along with it?
I mean, AJ Styles, like all three themes get big reactions. But Alexa Bliss would have won most improved wrestler. Over the, like, The Miz was the one who ended up winning it, but if we had waited...
You know what, guys? You have two dumb takes from that Twitter poll. Anyhow, happy 2017. How was everyone's New Year's celebration? Anything exciting happened? Did anyone wind up in a ditch drunk somewhere?
No, I actually worked the comedy shop New Year's Eve show. It was fantastic. KP was there for, like, 5 minutes and then went to a party.
Falcon was so excited to say that too. I heard him take the deep breath right before it sounded like Finn Balor was about to come out, like, and then the lights lowered, and then he talked about, you know, the comedy shop.
It was a fun night.
I had a generic New Year's. So the girlfriend and I went over to a friend of hers house. I bought like two six packs of Not Your Father's Root Beer, which is an amazing beverage, and I only drank three of them. And I got somewhat tipsy off of three beers. I'm a fucking lightweight now. So, like, I have another can of Yingling here, so this is just gonna knock me on my ass, probably. Also, I'm tired as shit tonight, so I'm a bit grumpy. Just trigger warning, people. Anyhow,
how's that different than
any other night ever? I know. So, let's start out 2017 by discussing how first shows of 2017 are in the books, and SmackDown is doing everything right, and Raw's doing everything wrong at this point. Because I watched SmackDown this morning before I went to work, and I just finished SmackDown Live before we went on Raw. Sorry, I finished Raw before we went on the air just now. And
he's tired, folks.
I watched both shows today, and I struggled to get through Raw. There is maybe one or two enjoyable segments, and they all involved Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho.
Okay, there's two things I'm liking, because I feel like the Cruiserweights are getting the shaft, but the best thing that on Raw, as far as Raw goes, about the Cruiserweight division has been Evil Neville. Like,
yeah, Adrian Neville has just been stepping up his game as a heel. I'm enjoying his heel turn, and another guy that took a surprise heel turn was was Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah. Which we'll get to that in SmackDown, but like also on Raw, like I like the fact that they're gonna have Cesaro and Sheamus feud with Gallows and Anderson. I feel like that's gonna be the tag team equivalent of what Cesaro Sheamus was before they gave them 20 matches in a row against each other.
And finally, they should have Gallows and Anderson go over as tag team champions. I mean, it's about time. I mean, they came in so strong. They came in so amped up, so hyped, and it has just been a cluster with those guys.
The problem is they want a New Day to break the tag titles record because Demolition are part of that.
And then have
lawsuit.
And then lose them at the next match that they have.
Well, yeah, because like at the like after they broke the record, I mean, they were essentially handcuffing the tag team division. So the second they could, they had them drop the titles to Cesaro and Sheamus.
I mean, it's going to be a very long time until we see that record broken again. So,
yeah.
You can't really complain about how the New Day accomplished that goal. They certainly deserve it because I can't remember a tag team that has been this consistently entertaining to me since in a very long time since the New Day. So, congrats to them. They absolutely deserve it. But
there's rumors of a heel turn, which I think will just essentially be them with a harder edge to it, like they were before the face turn.
I welcome it.
But them as heels would end up feuding with Enzo and Cass. So
that is the right booking for it, I think. Enzo and Cass need a proper feud. Enzo and Cass, I feel like, are just becoming the really popular but still jobber type guys. They're not getting the opportune moments that they need. They're not. I mean, like, just this past week on Raw, I mean, Enzo came out on one of those old lady carts or whatever.
Yeah.
And he had every opportunity to make jokes about that. But no, instead it was just like, my name Enzo Amore and this is Big Cass and there's only one word to describe you. Like, they didn't even do anything.
Here's the other problem with their current feud with Rusev. Rusev doesn't look like the bad guy in the feud. Like, Enzo's trying to hit on the guy's wife.
Don't you hate how they do that? There's that moral ambiguity or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Like, oh, because Rusev is the foreign heel. He's the bad guy.
How dare you defend your wife's honor?
Yeah. Like, and the same thing with Roman Reigns. Like, Roman Reigns was fucking with his wedding. Like, he's not in the wrong there.
Yeah, we got a buddy of ours, Rich McDonald. He's trying to watch Raw with his, you know, stepdaughter. He's trying to explain, like, oh, yeah, well, we don't like this guy because he's a bad guy. That's why it's okay to ruin his wedding and take his wife and smash her face in cake. Because that's what happens when you're not American. You know, that's like, it's a weird thing. It's the same thing they did with, what's his name? Friggin', when he was dating Eve and then Cena stole his girl after
Zach
Kane
Ryder.
Broke his neck.
Yeah, Zack Ryder.
That's right. But Cena's the good guy in that feud because you always make out with the guy's girlfriend while he's being carried away in a stretcher.
All right, well, was it because, like, Cena was, like, not aggressive enough or not enough, like, or he was too good or too kind or something like that, and Kane was like, no, like, you've got to be a dick, essentially, is what that was?
Oof, I don't even remember. I just know that John Cena is the reason I don't watch wrestling as much as I used to. There's a whole 3-year period. I didn't even know there was a Ted DiBiase Jr. That's how long I quit watching
Holy
wrestling
crap.
For because of him. Yeah. Came back because of the pipe bomb, and then I haven't left since. But to Hammy's point, I have fast-forwarded through Raw for at least the last month and a half, and I haven't missed a single plot point.
And here's the thing, though, with Raw, and someone else, a commenter on one of the many dirt sheets, summed it up perfectly, and that was, with Raw, you can go to sleep for an hour and not miss anything. With SmackDown, you can watch for an hour and not realize how quickly that hour went by.
See, it's interesting because now there are people talking about Raw going back to 2 hours, and even Jonathan Coachman said that it should be 2 hours.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, there's too many people on Raw for them to be 2 hours at this point, because then there's a lot of people who won't get lost in the shuffle. So I feel like if they're going to do it, wait until they shuffle some guys over to SmackDown to balance out the rosters, so there's not guys on Raw who are getting the shaft as far as TV time goes, and so SmackDown gets much needed depth, because they kind of screwed SmackDown over with the way they did that draft, especially with the way that they've Raw got one more pick per round than SmackDown did, and because Raw is an hour longer. But then Raw also got the Cruiserweight division, which was like another 16 to 20 guys. and there's not enough real estate for all that.
You think Raw is kind of just in a free fall? Like, they're kind of like in a holding pattern right now because they clearly drew big, big plans around Finn Balor, and him getting hurt just kind of screwed everything
up. Yeah, I mean, it gave us Kevin Owens as the longest reigning Universal Champion, which is the best heel move to just, he's had it only because the other guy had it for a day.
Well, we've been talking about it, too, is that the problem is Kevin is so rewarding to watch if you're a smart fan. He's never insulted your intelligence. He's funny, talented in the ring. It's like, what am I supposed to boo about this guy? I don't get it. Hey, he told the fans in Jacksonville, North Carolina, they're stupid. I should probably hate him. No, the guy's great, man. He's outstanding.
And he's one of the two, like, it's funny, the top two heels on both brands as far as, like, their stature with the company are right now are Kevin Owens and AJ Styles. And like the mark areas where it's like the kids and like the Cena and Reigns, like they will boo him, but everywhere else has like a respect for both guys to where like they're not going to boo them. So like, but they're also the two best at what they're doing right now. So like, it's like, no, like, it's not, they're not getting heel heat. It's just, they're so good. It's a respect cheer for the heel.
It's weird, man. That happened. When do you guys think that started happening? Because I've been watching, this is actually a thing I was excited to talk to you guys about. I've been watching so much of the old Raws from 1996, 1997 and stuff.
All
on
the
network.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. It really is the best. And I mean, the best thing is seeing the sponsors, too. Because then you see, like, toy products that you remembered as a kid and stuff. Yeah. Karate Arcade gives you the 1996 Survivor Series. But yeah, when did you guys think that started with the whole territory thing? Because I remember in 97, they were showing that Shawn Michaels would get booed anywhere up north. And Psycho Sid, who, even though he was beating up an old man, Jose Lothario?
Yeah.
Even though he was beating up Shawn Michaels' mentor in front of him, the New York crowd was chanting "Psycho Sid." Like, I don't know. Is it a territory thing still? You guys are the experts.
I think the New York crowds. It's like Northeast is a bizarro crowd as far as storyline goes, because they're going to root for who they like regardless of affiliation, face or heel. Like they respect pro wrestling, and so like, they'll root for a Kevin Owens or an AJ Styles over Roman Reigns or a John Cena. I mean, and it'll be just a ridiculous kind of crowd compared to other smarky areas just because you've got that brash Northeast mentality to go with it. And just, they'll go into business for themselves quite a bit too.
Well, I mean, I don't want to, you know, play my hand here, but my absolute favorite pay-per-view of all time is ECW One Night Stand 2.
Oh, God, that was...
just because you could
wait,
not...
the one in 2006 or the one in 2005?
Well, both of them were amazing, but RVD versus Cena, after what they made me suffer through with me having to understand the fact that John Cena could tap out Triple H, I mean, that was, to me, that was a huge insult to my intelligence. The fans have been rejecting it for a long. That was just the one time where the fans just said, "We're not having it, you can't do it." And they, you know, it bled through.
People threw toilet paper at Cena. Just in the beginning of the match, you know, Cena just throws his shirt out, and then the guy thrown back along with toilet paper.
And if you guys remember, there was the black ball guy who was the security guy. He turns around and flips the finger to Cena, and he was working the crowd.
Yep. Yeah,
that guy got a bigger pop than John Cena did that night. That's insane.
Well. Oh, God. And it's funny. Like, this is when Cena hadn't quite developed the thick skin when it came to, like, hostile crowds.
I do give him credit for that. He walked into the lines then a lot.
Yeah, I would say Cena has improved greatly over the years with dealing with hostile crowds, especially going into Chicago with CM Punk. And just now, I'm glad you guys brought up Cena, because if you watched SmackDown this week, John Cena and AJ Styles showed us why they need to main event Royal Rumble, and they need to be the main rivalry going forward.
They're not going to main event Royal Rumble, because the Royal Rumble match is going to main event Royal Rumble.
Well, main event, like the title match main event.
Oh, the main title match.
Yes.
They should, as recognition for SmackDown being just the better brand of the two, that, like, they should be the main title match. So, like, you've got that, I mean, what sucks is Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns. Like, you have no clue what they're going to do with it. So, are they going to make Reigns a double champion, which no one wants? like if they have want him to beat Owens for the title, like they had the perfect opportunity to get the U.S. title off of him. But I mean, part of me thinks Kevin Owens should hold the title through WrestleMania, and they should have either Sami Zayn or Finn Balor win the Rumble. But they probably won't do that. But that's what they should do.
Well, what a cool angle if you wanted to mess with it. Because one of the things I loved from the old Raws was they were doing, just to draw a comparison, was when they had Road Dogg and Billy Gunn were beating each other for different titles.
Yeah.
So the titles always stayed in DX, but you know somebody could do what they needed to do and whatnot. But that's the exact thing that they could play here with that Jericho Kevin Owens thing. You know, Owens takes the U.S. title off of Reigns, and then they wind up going, because didn't they say that that's the only title that, no, Jericho's held the U.S. title before because he held it in WCW, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. So he could have that title. I mean, it could be, you could play a lot of interesting things, man. But to me, the thing that's so frustrating as a fan is that you got people that I can't sit there and explain to somebody, because my dad still doesn't get it. He cracks me up. You know, anytime me and him talk wrestling, he just doesn't get it. He still thinks that I buy into the kayfabe part of it. And then, you know, we're kind of looking behind the scenes as smarter fans and everything. But there's no way that I can buy into, I mean, Roman Reigns is a heel. The crowd decides what you are, I think. So he's been a heel for almost 2 or 3 years now. And they haven't let him do a single heel thing, per se. And then Kevin Owens is getting a huge response because he's entertaining. Jericho, is he the most over face on Raw right now? Because
I think he's the most over person in WWE.
He's the only time I hit play when I'm fast forwarding on the DVR of the Raw on Tuesdays, because I try to watch Raw before SmackDown Live comes on.
You can almost guarantee that if him and Kevin Owens or any either one of the two or both of them are on TV, it's going to be among the best segments of the night.
Oh, Enzo Amore, when he pops out, I'm still entertained by him. New Day. There's segments that I stop for, but absolutely, man. I can't get over the fact that so many people who are incredibly talented are still kind of stuck in a heel. Yeah. AJ Styles, if you're the top heel in the company, I mean, you shouldn't be getting arenas chanting your name where you have to make fun of something local where you're like, oh, by the way, your college basketball team sucks.
Yeah.
Just well, that's to get a way the to cheap get cheap heat. Yeah.
Oh, it bugs me.
Oh, also, to correct you guys on an earlier thing, Chris Jericho has never won the U.S. title.
Really?
Yeah. What did he hold in WCW?
All right, so in WCW, he was Cruiserweight and TV champion.
Their TV title, yep. Good call.
And in WWE, he was the Undisputed Champion, the Unified Tag Team Championship twice, World Heavyweight Championship, WCW Champion.
That's amazing. Yeah. I would have thought he held the U.S. title at one point.
Yeah, he's held pretty much every title there is to hold in the time he's been there. Except for the U.S. title.
You got to put it on him.
Yeah, it's at some point.
He's, to me, he's the best of all time still. And, he's like a fan's fan, I should say.
And he's had the wherewithal to realize he's slowing down in ring, so he's doing now the comedic character acting, where he's made a potted plant and a clipboard among the most over things on Raw.
And you saw it on Monday Night Raw this week. He put the entire city of Tampa Bay on the list, which, you know, to be fair, that's a very good thing to do because Tampa Bay is a dump.
Well, I mean, city of Tampa, by the way.
Anyone from Tampa listening right now, I want you to know that Hammy said some controversial things.
The views expressed by Hammy do not reflect those of...
And it's okay. You'll be fine once Mersh takes you over.
Nice.
And by the way, I don't want to spoil anything that was going on in New Japan, but let's just say if you haven't checked out Wrestle Kingdom 11 yet, you need to check that out. I need to watch the whole thing from the beginning, but I saw one or two matches from it. I've been reading a couple of results. I'm not going to spoil anything for you guys because it really is fresh. It was today, but from what I'm reading...
Sorry, people who follow me on Twitter.
Yeah, sorry for those who don't follow Punchy on Twitter, but Wrestle Kingdom 11 is, they're already talking about this being the show to beat for 2017. Yeah. Like, it's not even, 2017 is not even in double digits yet, and they're talking about this show being the show to beat this year and how it won't be beat.
For the pre-show or the preliminary match, was the New Japan Rumble, which had names like Michael Elgin, Billy Gunn, Tiger Mask, Jushin Liger, and Scott Norton in there. Like, they dusted off Scott Norton for that Rumble.
And that,
That was like their pre-show, pretty much. Like you had what's already an early match of the year contender, Okada versus Kenny Omega.
I'm not gonna say the results, but according to Wikipedia, the match time for this is just under 47 minutes. So
yep, yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at the match results. I'm looking at the storylines leading up to it, and I need to watch this from beginning to end again, but from what I've seen, this has been an unbelievable event of pro wrestling. Guys, check out Wrestle Kingdom 11. The last two Wrestle Kingdoms I've seen have been stellar, and New Japan produced my personal pick for Match of the Year in 2016 with Ricochet and Will Ospreay, so definitely check out Wrestle Kingdom 11. It has already been being talked as the show of the year. So 11 solid matches each. No, there's one match that's 9 minutes and 37 seconds, but that is the shortest length match.
Yeah, which is
six and a half.
Which by WWE terms is a long match on Raw.
Yeah, that's a really long TV match. but I want to talk about something real quick that caught my eye, which was how, first off, SmackDown is just doing everything right. I mean, yeah. Let's just, before this, Raw, I would say my three highlights are seeing Goldberg, just for like nostalgic purposes, but that's about it. Then him and Roman Reigns doing like, okay, you and I gonna fight, but let's take out the big guy, Braun Strowman, which we gotta talk about him in a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, boy, did he produce some good quality stuff for us this week. The highlight of the show was the Kevin Owens show, and Chris Jericho putting the entire city of Tampa on the list, and the city just going, yes, 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 after they were put on the list.
Also, like, the sign for the Kevin Owens show was a guy standing in the ring with a sign on his head like it's a helmet.
It's fantastic. Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho are the only things worth watching on Monday Night Raw, aside from maybe Enzo and Cass and The New Day.
And also, I think the tag team title feud is going to make it worth watching. Before, it was like Sasha, Charlotte, that feud. But now that feud's over, we'll see where those two feuds, the two splinter off feuds are.
Another personal highlight of mine for Raw this week was Bayley getting the number one contendership for Charlotte Flair's women's title by defeating Nia Jax via...
You mean Nia Reigns?
Yeah, via Sasha Banks.
That's a thing?
Distraction.
Oh, yeah, Nia Jax is on the main roster.
Oh, but you called her Nia Reigns.
Well, because she's related to Roman Reigns.
And yeah. Isn't it cool how wrestling taught us that Samoans are black? they're wherever there's not black people, that's what Samoans fill that void.
What?
You know, if you're in Australia, because that's a true thing, man. Down in Australia, they're all scared of the Samoan kids because the Samoan kids will kick your ass. So it's like, they're, because black people,
I'm not sure
in Australia,
whether
I don't
feel
know,
offended because this is racist, or agree that this is a good talking point.
Well, look what they're doing with the Usos. The Usos are the
No, it's the Busos.
Oof. All right.
Yes.
No. You got me there. That's a good point. Remember when they turned heel and they just stopped wearing their John Cena wristband t-shirts?
Now they look like every wannabe gangsta.
Exactly.
On the street. But SmackDown, guys, the one big highlight from SmackDown.
Of many. Let's point.
Of many. I'll just let the audio speak for itself.
You are the luckiest man on this planet. You've been gifted a title match from a guy who basically is your brother-in-law. It was last year, John, you, with this championship on your shoulder, told me that I needed a win to prove that I belong in the WWE. Because if I didn't, I was just an overrated indie guy. That's what you said. But here I am, WWE champion, telling you, if you don't get a win, you don't belong in the WWE.
Wow. AJ Styles giving us...
Bringing it again.
He hits his home runs. He stutters a lot, and sometimes he's not really the greatest talker, but when he hits a home run, man, he goes yard.
And John Cena had a very brilliant response to this.
You say I got no love for this place. You say I left it high and dry. You say I got no passion. I destroyed my shoulder. They said I'd be out for a year. I was back in 4 months.
Because of steroids.
Passion. You You only go where they tell you to go. I go so hard, they tell me to stop. That's passion.
No means no, Cena.
Every night you walk down this ramp, you walk down the ramp because you have to. I walk down this ramp every night because I want to. That's passion.
Seriously, where is this John Cena like every week?
Say I'm going to Hollywood.
It depends on who he's feuding with.
Anybody else in my shoes would have already gone, but I'm still here. And that's passion.
The Scorpion King 3 coming this... God, I hate that dude.
I'm not going to play the whole thing, obviously, but guys, SmackDown, if you watch any highlight from this past week's SmackDown, there's a lot of them, but if you have to pick just one, watch that segment between AJ Styles and John Cena, because those guys, even though they feuded last summer in SummerSlam with one of our matches of the year, they figured out a way to not only keep me very interested in this feud, interested in their match at the Royal Rumble, but wanting more. That's what they did. They made me want more.
Yep.
And Cena and Styles showed everybody else in the company, this is how you sell a feud.
And the thing, too, is, like, all right, so this feud's been going on for a while now, but they do it in, the, like, SmackDown has a means to, like, extend feuds for different reasons. Like in this case, Cena was doing a TV show, so it became Ambrose versus Styles for a little bit, and it went back to Cena versus Styles. Whereas, like, also the IC title feuds, they've found good ways to extend those. Orton versus Wyatt, they feuded, now they're teaming, and then until they're like, all right, we need these guys to feud again. So, like, SmackDown is finding, writers are finding creative ways to allow a feud to be extended because of how thin their roster is, whereas Raw is just doing the same matches week in and week out. I think it was something...
And they have an extra hour to do, yeah. which makes it hurt so much and, more to watch Raw.
And a larger roster. I think there was a stat that, like, since SummerSlam, there's only been three Raws that did not feature a match that had a combination of either Chris Jericho or Kevin Owens versus either Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins.
I mean, Raw is just getting very, very lazy their booking.
And they need to, like, there's people they could be freshening up, and I think that's why they're probably going to have Cesaro and Sheamus lose the tag titles quickly to Gallows and Anderson, because that way those two can split, do their feud, and then start feuding with other faces and heels in the roster.
I agree. What was your biggest takeaway from SmackDown this week?
My biggest takeaway is that, once again, John Cena, if you give him the right opponent, he can produce some of the best segments in the show. Like, if you put him with an AJ Styles or a CM Punk or a Daniel Bryan, he can, like, he puts all effort into it. Like, if it's a guy like a Baron Corbin, I'm just saying his name because he's a newer guy, not as established, doesn't have as much cred, like, he's not going to put in the same kind of effort. Like, he'll try to do the impassioned speech, but it almost resonates and hits a lot better when he's got someone legitimate and established into, like, the like, adult male fans, like an AJ Styles.
Here's a hot take, Mike. I actually kind of like Baron Corbin now. I'm getting behind Baron Corbin.
Because SmackDown's writing him a lot better than before the split.
He's no longer the useless big guy that I've seen before. He's actually improving. He's on the fast track so far to be the most improved wrestler of 2017, if they book this guy right.
And that's the thing. He's having one of his best runs since joining the main roster. The Miz arguably is having his best run in WWE since the brand.
Oh, my God. His feud with Renee Young and Dean Ambrose is just... How can you hate The Miz after the past few months of watching him just work the crowd?
AJ Styles has become, like, the best wrestler on the roster, period, both in terms of stature / booking and ability. Dean Ambrose has put forth in some feuds some of his best mic work ever since the breakup of the Shield. Like, they can handle the mid-card well. They turned Dolph Ziggler heel, and now he's a guy that they can have people like an Apollo Crews feud with or a Kalisto feud with as they elevate Baron
Corbin.
And
most likely going to be a very, very exciting feud, Crews and Ziggler.
Oh, God, I can't wait for those matches. And Ziggler will be a good heel gatekeeper for a lot of these faces. It'll be a good way to give Apollo Crews a much-needed fleshing out.
He really needs it, too, because his only character right now is an athletic guy who smiles a lot.
Yeah, happy to be here, athlete.
And that's exactly what they did to
the
poor...
Hello, The Rock.
Yeah, and that's the poor thing. That's what they did to the New Day guys, too, for... at one point, all three of them in their career were supposed to be just happy, shiny, athletic guy. And they, you know, I'm a good guy and you guys should really like me because of that. And then they gave them no substance. And the second they got a chance to do something, we're still talking about it here. So Apollo Crews, I'm really excited about because, I mean, I don't know if he could work heel. I've never seen him do it, but.
And what the heel turn can do for Ziggler, like Ziggler's character is kind of, with the exception of that feud with The Miz, with the exception of that, like his character's been kind of getting a little bit stale as a face too. So he can now play the heel that feels slighted that a lot of these new era guys are getting opportunities that he's been working his ass off for almost a decade now since being packaged on the main roster as Dolph Ziggler.
You think Dolph's going to get over like with, I think everybody likes him. But do you think the people are going to realize how special he truly was, like, as he gets later on in his years? Like, I remember when Terry Funk, like, you would hear the new guys talk about Terry Funk, and you're like, oh, holy shit, he really was, like, a legend in that business. The same way they talk about Dusty Rhodes now.
I think they'll talk like that about Dolph Ziggler. I think they already, show their appreciation for him. And I'll point out, like, even though there's not a Charlotte versus Sasha feud on SmackDown, like... Becky Lynch versus Alexa Bliss has been a well-fleshed-out feud. And now the La Luchadora thing, which I'm still trying to figure out who that is. Like, it's not Naomi. Like, part of me is wondering if it's Ember Moon from NXT.
Yeah, Reyes ain't big enough.
To be Naomi, no. Like, I don't know, like, who could, like... So, they're calling someone up. I just don't know who.
What's the Australian girl's name with the black hair? On NXT.
Billy Kay, but no,
there it is. No way it's her?
No, it's too dark to be her.
Oh.
But, like, they're doing stuff with that, and, like, they found a means to give James Ellsworth TV time without ruining good feuds by just sticking him in a romance angle with Carmella. They're going to put him on TV. I'd rather it be that than fucking with AJ Styles matches.
He was getting unwatchable for a while there. Yeah. It really was.
Yeah. Also, like, there's the Natalia Nikki Bella feud that started off with a pretty good bite to it. Like, the way Natalia sold the stuff she said in that heel turn promo was, like, some of her better mic work.
There are two very big news stories that I want to talk about before we get to the most fun part of... the next couple of months, I would say. Jonathan Coachman was interviewed by my buddies at Busted Open Radio recently, and he talked about a lot of things, but the headlines I'm reading are his views on Ronda Rousey. I know this is not an MMA show. We'll leave that to the Cage Crew, hosted by Matt and Jeff, not the Hardy Boys.
But
it has been said that Ronda Rousey, when her MMA career is over... is going to jump to WWE. WWE has even said that they're interested in Conor McGregor. And I don't know if you saw after Raw this week, there was a special called Bring It to the Table, hosted by Rosenberg, starring Paul Heyman and John Bradshaw Layfield. And they talked about Ronda Rousey coming to WWE. They talked about Conor McGregor possibly coming to WWE. What McGregor said about the WWE wrestlers, and JBL nailed it on the head. He's like, guys, this is just a heel tactic. This is what we used to do all the time back in the day to get heat from the fans, heat from the wrestlers, heat from people because we were heels. Now, my main question to you guys is, would you ever want to see these two legendary warriors of the UFC come to WWE and the world of pro wrestling? Because... Ronda Rousey
yes, got her ass annihilated by Amanda Nunes this past Friday, but that hasn't stopped WWE from promoting Brock Lesnar after he got destroyed by Alistair Overeem. That hasn't stopped WWE for promoting Brock Lesnar when he failed and is now suspended from USADA for doping.
Yep.
That hasn't stopped WWE from promoting Ken Shamrock when he lost in MMA.
No,
in his prime.
I mean, let's face it. Well, no. To be fair, he had a winning record in the UFC when he was signed by
WWE.
So
does Rousey. She's coming off two really, really humiliating losses in a row.
I don't even think he was coming off losses when WWE signed him. He just went to...
Doesn't matter. The point is he loses.
Yeah.
Every great fighter loses.
But, I mean,
for fuck's sake, Muhammad Ali and Tyson lost. I mean, every great fighter in history loses at some point.
Right. And here's
except
the thing,
for Dan the Beast Severn.
Oh, God, you and Gary Poe with the Severn stuff.
And Floyd Mayweather, but that's only because he punches people that are way below his caliber and women, but that's besides the point.
All right, my counterpoint to Coachman's point about Ronda Rousey is Brock Lesnar.
Coachman basically said that Rousey would be stupid for WWE to bring her in now because she has basically crashed and burned. Dude, all WWE needs is a couple shots of her knocking people out in the UFC, put some great music behind it, market her, take some time. Obviously, she's not going to appear on Raw next week. But like 6 months down the road, I mean, guys, especially in this day and age, people's short-term memories are so bad and horrendous that we'll forget about Rousey losing. People will still mark out because the last time we saw Ronda Rousey on any form of WWE programming, she gave a judo flip to Triple H and almost broke Stephanie McMahon's arms at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Also, like I said, I want to point out, too, with Coach's point about Ronda Rousey and her having two losses, WWE signed Brock Lesnar after he had lost his second straight match in UFC.
Yes.
Like and in convincing fashion, he was TKO'd, knocked out by Velasquez and TKO'd due to kicks by Alistair Overeem. He was not looking like a beast.
His intestines were turned inside out by Alistair Overeem.
It's all that horse meat that happens to have steroids in it.
Yes. And again, Brock Lesnar is still a main event attraction. Brock Lesnar is still a title contender. Brock Lesnar is still one of the highest grossing draws in WWE. You're telling me WWE can't market Ronda Rousey? They can say, just speak the truth about her. She was the first UFC women's bantamweight champion. She single-handedly brought women's MMA to the mainstream. And she's one of the most dominating women's fighters in history. I mean, the prime of her fighting win streak was less than a minute. Like, if you take all of her fights, they're combined 4 minutes in total time.
Yeah.
Because she just straight up dominated everyone.
Like, and
so all you need is a couple highlight reel clips from Rousey. Rousey comes out. Here's how to book Ronda Rousey in WWE. Here's how to do it. Charlotte Flair would come out, do "I'm the queen around here. Who are you? I'm undefeated on pay-per-view. I can't be beaten." Ronda Rousey, all has to say is, "I'm a real fighter," and flips Charlotte over. Boom. She's a draw. That's how you book Rousey. You treat her the same way you treat Brock Lesnar. She was a real fighter, a real champion, and she probably really could beat the living shit out of every woman in the WWE locker room.
I feel like Daria Baronato on NXT, they're kind of like, yeah, we have you as our token MMA fighter, but the second we sign Ronda Rousey, you're like, you're not needed in that game.
I mean, I would love to see Rousey in WWE. I would love it, just not at the moment, because the loss is just way too recent. It happened last Friday, but 6 months from now, or even at WrestleMania, yeah, I'd be fine to seeing Rousey in WWE. Conor McGregor, look what they did with Floyd Mayweather in the Big Show. It was stupid and cheesy, but that's how you incorporate an outside athlete in WWE.
I feel like when they bring Rousey in, they should let her train in developmental to learn the ropes. Because she's never done it before.
Oh, you think she's going
to
be a full-time
really
wrestler?
To do this, though?
No, she's going to be like Lesnar. Come in to do like a couple matches a year, maybe.
I think she should still get to learn the ropes a little bit to know. Because, like, remember, Mayweather also broke the Big Show's nose in that match.
That is true.
So, like,
she's going to be a Kevin Federline. That's all it's going to be. You're going to headline grab for a week, and then it's over. You know, I don't
headline grab for a couple pay-per-views and just be done. She'll be just like Brock Lesnar.
I honestly think in Stephanie's ideal world, they want a Ken Shamrocker.
Yeah, I mean, she is.
Have her beaten by Tito Ortiz. Is that what you mean?
No, they don't care about what happens after she would leave WWE.
Get Holly Holm to appear on Monday Night Raw the following week saying, hey, remember I knocked you out?
No. If they're going to do that and do it like Shamrock, they'll have Ronda get established and then bring Holly Holm in as the NWA champion and do nothing with her.
I thought you were going to say if you wanted to, you know, get her to marry Jenna Jameson or something. That'd be interesting, too.
I mean, well, but okay, overall, would you guys want to see Ronda Rousey in WWE in any form?
It'd be interesting. I think they should do something. They've set it up already. So go with it.
I'm going to pass on both of them, McGregor and Rousey. When you bring in a marquee name like that, they have too much bargaining power, so then creative's limited in what they can do with them. And like I said, I think that's a quick cash grab. That's the, let's spike the ratings for a little while and see what happens. That's cool. I get that. You want to make money. But I guess I'm kind of a purist. That's why I like NXT so much. That's why I like a lot of the indie stuff so much. But once you bring in somebody like that, they're going to want to be portrayed in a certain light, and you can't really do anything. So what's it going to be? It's going to be McGregor shows up and knocks out Sheamus in one punch. That's the whole angle.
It should be.
They go path of least resistance with the big names, and I get why, but to me, it's always boring.
And also, WWE Aria has one Irish wrestler that we can't understand a word of, and that's Becky Lynch. So, Conor McGregor, like, I wouldn't want to see two Irish people that I can barely understand in the ring.
Relax, Kevin Hammy Dunn.
Look, and the
two
other
inside,
big,
Falcon, two inside.
And the other big story here. This happened today, published today. Anthem has officially announced that they have acquired Impact Wrestling. Now has a new majority ownership. Dixie Carter stepping down.
I mean, they bought it. I'm just skeptical because we also heard that Billy Corgan was president for a while.
As part of the ownership change, Dixie Carter is stepping down from her position of Impact Ventures chairperson and has joined the advisory board of Fight Media Group and remains a minority equity stakeholder in TNA.
That's still too much Dixie Carter involvement. So, like, I don't know. I just want to believe that that's going to be a good thing for TNA, but that's a situation where I think the damage has already been done.
What channel? They were on Destination America?
Yeah, I don't even know what channel they're on now. Is it even a channel that most people can get?
I would not be able to name a single thing that's gone on. TNA is one of those things that you pick up on. I get all my wrestling news from Bleacher Report. If Bleacher Report wants to throw us some money, like Lyft and Yingling have for this podcast. Radio show. But no, that's the thing. I can't think of, you get the big highlights whenever they sign somebody on Bleacher Report. TNA would, you know, they would make the headlines or something, or if they had something that was unmissable. But TNA, for a casual fan who never really watched it, you have AJ Styles, you had
Sting.
You had the Sting thing, and then my personal hero, Scott Hall. I'm not so much of a fan of Scott Hall, the wrestler, as I am Scott Hall, the alcohol abuser, because anybody who gets tossed out of a TGI Fridays, I mean, that's kind of an interesting dude you want to hang out with, get to know a little bit better.
Also, TNA is currently on Pop.
Ugh. That's the other thing. They're stuck in that friggin' ECW hell where you never know what channel they're on or what time it's going to be on. Is it a weekly program anymore? I mean,
yeah, except I actually wanted to watch ECW.
Damn, Hammy. All right.
Hammy just wishes that TNA would be deleted.
Dude, come on. Again, a more justification for my pick of gimmick of the year. Broken Matt Hardy is single-handedly keeping TNA relevant in any form of capacity. Because when we talk TNA,
Hammy,
Matt Hardy comes up.
Hammy, he was third place.
I know. I know.
He was behind Gentleman Jack Gallagher.
Ugh.
Twitter's bad, though, with the polling and stuff. You really can't. According to Twitter, all the Jews need to go back to Africa. That's something I heard the other day on Twitter. And that's where I get my news. So
if it's on Twitter, it must be true.
That's how I feel.
Jesus Christ, KP. Also, like, really quick, too. This weekend, there's going to be WWE's UK Championship Tournament. So for those of you who want to watch, non-main roster wrestling, that'll probably be better than a lot of what Raw is doing. That'll be on there with ex-Ring of Honor guy Nigel McGuinness on commentary.
Wait, that's kind of cool. UK Championship Wrestling. So that's like a title, but just for the United Kingdom?
Yeah, just for the United Kingdom.
All right, so you're kind of getting that European title flair back. Because the European title, in my theory, I don't know if I've ever told you guys this, I don't think it ever went away. I think the European title just evolved into Summer Rae, where they just put it on some new guy who's in the locker room and he needs something to get people talking about him a little bit. So the new European title became Summer Rae. I think the current European title is actually just having Lana. Like, you know, Ziggler had it for a little while, and then now it's back on Rusev. So that's how they like to do it. It's weird that they do that, but it's the same thing where you got to put something attractive on the guy, something shiny to get the fans to respond to somebody who's a otherwise possible dud.
Nice. Also, for those who don't know, WWE's got another TV dispute for Raw. Spectrum actually might be dropping USA Network. So
Spectrum was once Time Warner Cable. They renamed themselves to sound like a James Bond evil organization, which perfectly describes Time Warner Cable.
I thought it was going to be run by autistic kids.
Well, the way their customer service handles your business, it sounds like they are.
There it is.
Also, before we get to the fun bit, real quick, I don't know if we might have mentioned this. There was a mother who made a Facebook post about Kevin Owens.
Oh, yeah, no, we did not mention this. Yes. I've been wanting to talk about this.
She, and it's ridiculous. He was being a heel. He wasn't being hurtful to the kid.
Well, what did the mom say? Basically going around saying, I was outraged as a parent and just tried to pour the guilt on my son has some mental disability, insert disability here.
She didn't say that, but if she did afterwards, then you can tell she's trying to get free shit.
Oh, and I could have swore that's what the Facebook post said.
No.
Oh, hold on. Let me look this
it
up.
Wasn't. It was that her son was like traumatized and now like is not a fan anymore because all the wrestlers were giving him high fives. Kevin Owens was the one who didn't. Kevin Owens made a remark on Twitter of that, like, Kevin Owens, the wrestler, didn't high-five my kid, so give me free shit, is essentially what Kevin Owens was insinuating she was doing, which it felt like a cash grab or I'm offended, give us tickets or something. She is now trying to sue Kevin Owens for that.
Oh, my God.
For the whole thing at that event.
So, oh my God.
That is going to be a frivolous lawsuit that will probably never see the time of day, but...
Is he a special needs kid? Is that what you guys alluded to a second ago?
No. I think Hammy thought that, but unless a new story broke out about the kid, but apparently the mom is suing Kevin Owens now, or going to be.
Okay, here you go. You want me to read the whole thing? Because it's just really douche-chilling. Okay. Kevin Owens yells at young fan. A fan's mother posts angry letter on social media. All right, be prepared to get very annoyed here. Mm-hmm. And it just... Chrome is not cooperating tonight. My heart is shattered. What started off as a night of fun entertainment... fucking Chrome. Why? Pop-up ads.
Curses a lot in her letter so far. That's what she is.
Yeah,
she's really. I don't think
fucking
she's mad at
hell, Chrome.
She's not mad at
fuck.
Owen. She's mad at Chrome. Yeah. Sounds like that's where the rage is. You know, if I had to ask,
my heart is shattered. What started off as an amazingly awesome night ended in my 7-year-old being completely heartbroken. My son is a huge WWE fan and a fan of just about every wrestler on the roster. He has a drawer full of everyone's shirts, but he chose to wear a Roman Reigns shirt since he has been a fan of his ever since he started watching. All night he was getting high fives from other wrestlers and was all smiles, but for some reason, when Kevin Owens came around, he singled out my son and commented on whose shirt he was wearing, then told him, you should get this shirt, actually. Don't get this shirt. I don't want you to ever wear my shirt. Don't you ever try to touch me. Just Kevin Owens being a total dick. All because my 7-year-old wanted a high five and was in wearing a shirt. My heart sank. He became visibly upset, sat down, and kept staring at the gate. I couldn't help it. I started crying. And then it's just paragraph after paragraph after paragraph of just trying to guilt trip the WWE and say, my son is the greatest thing since Jesus Christ. And I want free shit. That is all you're going for, lady. When wrestlers are dicks to fans, it's because they're trying to get booze. And then what was Kevin Owens' response?
What was Kevin Owens' response?
Like, I didn't.
A wrestler told my son not to touch him.
Yeah.
I'm completely heartbroken. Well, not really, but if I complain, maybe I'll get free stuff.
Oh, and a funny line from the mother's ramble was, like, to top all this off, after Kevin lost to Roman Reigns and he was walking away from the ring, my son was just standing there in honesty watching, and Kevin Owens jumped towards him and yelled, "I am your father," which made no sense, but with the sudden movement and loudness made all of us jump, and my son almost fell off his seat. And she spelled off with one F, I want to point out. My son is crushed, and whenever he talks, like, he tears up, so she's trying to get free shit. A far cry from Bubba Ray Dudley anytime he was doing a promo in ECW, but...
I mean, Jesus, you want to go back to when the Dudley boys gave zero fucks? I mean, remember this?
Piece of shit city makes me fucking...
By the way, you want to know, A, how to do a heel promo, and B, start a riot at the same time?
Watch old Bubba Ray.
You know what? This is about a minute or so. I need to listen to this whole thing.
You people are nothing but low.
Oh, and of course.
This is garbage.
Some people hate to hear the truth.
And you can see him, he's scoping out the crowd to find his next victim.
Yeah.
Dayton, Ohio, and the rest of the entire wrestling world are gonna find out why me and my brother Devon are the best goddamn tag team in the world.
Oh, does this have it?
No, I don't think it has it.
And if we had the time, we would come out there and kick every one of your asses.
Ricky's pointing up at you, Joey Styles.
We got some faggot in a Hawaiian shirt down here.
I believe the term's gay American.
Please be a little more politically correct.
Wow, isn't that ironic, Joey
Styles?
The front row who taught her daughter how to suck dick.
Like, the crowd at this point is just...
Why are you laughing, Joey Styles?
I'm not.
That's
laughing.
Not funny.
I'm not laughing.
And we got some ugly Stankosaurus who's gonna take 9 inches of black dick.
Well, that sounds like a party I'd like to go to.
Was that Cyrus? I think that was Cyrus. Or, yeah, I think formerly known as the Jackal in WWE with that last line.
Yeah, so you want a heel promo that will not only just tear into the crowd, but also, like, really piss off a lot of people? Yeah. Bubba Ray, the Dudley boys did that every week in ECW. That's the definitive heel tactic there. All right. We have very little time left here. But you guys brought something to my attention tonight that's just simply amazing. Mike, do you want to set this up? Or
yeah. So somebody was perusing Tinder and... there was a profile. A guy's name is Adam, and he's listed as 33, and it's clearly Braun Strowman. hand me if you want to read the profile, because it shows. By the way, the picture shows him with no shirt, flexing in a, like, I guess a river or like some body of water that looks rustic.
Yeah. So the caption is Adam, 33, 11 miles away. And the caption reads, 6'8", 375-pound country boy, 4 exclamation points. I like lifting weights and eating steaks. Ooh. And the photo, for those of you who benefit of watching the video podcast, we have it up here.
It's him flexing his muscles, looking, yeah, in a, what it could only be a either a river or a hot tub that's made to look like a river.
Yeah.
And it, clearly, this is Braun Strowman.
Oh, God.
So bravo to the Tinder user who found this and then posted it on the internet for everyone to find, because that gave us all a little bit of an idea. What would your Tinder profile say if you were a wrestler? What would wrestlers' Tinder profile say in character? I'll let Punchy go first here.
All right. Well, you have Enzo and Cass, with Enzo saying that he will hit that certified G-spot.
That's very good.
And that he's 7 inches long, and you can't teach that. With Big Cass saying that he will never go S-A-W-F-T, soft.
That's a pretty good Tinder tagline. AJ Styles, it has to be AJ Styles, the saint that fucks that taint. That's got to be AJ Styles' Tinder tagline.
I told you his Grindr one, right, Amy?
No.
AJ Styles' Grindr profile is the phenom anal one. That's what we got.
The phenom anal one. That would be very good. John Cena. Man, what would John Cena's Tinder profile say?
Pulls out at 2.
That's very good.
Nice. I like that one.
Pulls out at 2, dot, 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 dot. Hours. Yeah, ladies. It doesn't matter what I look like because you can't see me. That's good.
No, he wouldn't have a picture of himself. It would be the generic stock photo.
Yes, it would be. It would be current,
and it would be horribly spelled. The letter U can't. The letter C me.
Yes. Who else? Who could have a really good Tinder profile? What would Chris Jericho's be? You know what happens? You know what happens if you don't give me head at the end of the night? You know what happens?
You just made the list.
You'll make the list.
Wouldn't the list be great if it was just a list of sexually transmitted diseases he has? He was like, oh, is this pus? Yeah, you just made the list.
Nikki Bella, you can look and you can touch.
That would be really good.
What was your Becky Lynch one earlier? It was a good Becky Lynch
Becky
one.
Oh, Becky Lynch would be the last licker.
I like that one. Well, sometimes if you're on Tinder and the dating apps enough, people like to put like a quote, usually from like a song or something like that too. So I thought, for a couple of them, it'd be or they try to brag about their profession, like Seth freaking Rollins is, come on, babe, I'm an architect.
Or come on, you've already seen it online.
That's too.
That's good.
Stacey Keebler's, I promise I won't talk about Clooney. Owen Hart just crash into me, baby.
Roman Reigns would be, I might not be a good, he would just be his tagline, his real tagline. No. I might not be a good guy, I might not be a bad guy, I'm just the guy that you'll swipe right to.
Roman nice. Reigns, I'm the guy your parents will push on you even if you don't want it.
Isn't that beautiful? That's the relationship I want, by the way.
No, Roman
like
Reigns
Roman
might be
Vince.
Just a little rapey. He's like, I'll force myself onto you.
Empire.
Believe that.
Jinder Mahal, I'm just a millionaire looking for his slum dog.
Very good.
Get it, because he's Indian. That's why it's funny. Dolph Ziggler, tons of finishers, but I'll never get one of them in your hair.
Wow.
What else did I write that's stupid? I do want, like, to it's weird calling him Punchy. He's the Falcon to me, you know? But I do want to love, like, Roman Reigns and Vince's, because no matter how much people talk behind our back, no matter how many people don't want us to be together, here we are 2 years later, and we're still on top.
Cesaro could be like, I could take you for a good swing tonight.
I heard Jeff Jarrett doesn't have one. He just swipes right on all the people that Kurt Angle likes.
Jesus Christ.
That's a good joke.
Also do that with Matt Hardy and Edge.
That's
your text messages will be deleted.
The Tinder conversation with Emelina No, I promise. We'll reschedule the date for next week. I'll be there.
But in the meantime, here are some hot photos to keep you waiting.
Nice. Gay Goldberg, your butthole's next. That's the dumbest one I wrote by far.
But it fits.
That's
CM Punk, it's not me, it's you.
No, CM Punk, don't worry. I don't get attached and I'll be out soon enough.
Damn. You guys are going cold-blooded on my boy there. I didn't have one for this.
CM Punk's. I'll talk a lot of shit, but then I'll get beat up by a real fighter soon enough.
I'll last at least 2 minutes and 14 seconds.
CM Punk's grinder profile, anybody but Teddy Hart?
I didn't have one for the New Day. I was trying to figure out what to write about them, and that's when I just...
Tinder!
See, Hammy's
online. Don't you dare! Swipe left! Clap for your world-famous two-time date man and feel the power.
You know what they are? Cock. I realized it. Oh, damn. You went even darker at the end there. That's no pun intended. But you know what I realized is that friggin' the New Day, this is what they are. I didn't know it, but like I said, I watch all the 90s Raws all the time. They are just the gentrified version of the Nation of Domination. What was black and scary in the 90s is now selling us breakfast cereal. That's like, that's pretty much Brooklyn. If Brooklyn was a thing, you know?
Holy shit. Yeah, that's very accurate. That's a good one.
They softened the blow. I had one for Test. I don't think Test ever needed a date. I know he's dead. I liked him as a wrestler as a kid, but Test killed it, man. Like, he really...
And himself.
Yeah, I don't think he missed out on anything, though. He had Stacy Keibler. He had young Kelly Kelly. What else? The dude was... That's a streak, man. That might be worth a couple of decades off the end of your life, you know? I don't know. We're getting dark
now. That
got
dark.
Yeah.
That got really dark.
I don't know, man. If I could have, because Kelly Kelly was a thing for me. She's from Jacksonville, too, you know, which is... she is not a direct... I lived in Jacksonville for 6 years. She is not a direct link to what the women of Jacksonville look like. So that's outstanding. And that's how you know you're pretty, because you get out of Jacksonville. That's how that works. What else?
Would just be swipe right or else I'll set your house on fire.
They just talk about Katie Vick the whole time.
Oh, it's really good.
In the bedroom, you'll never rest in peace.
Dude, that's a good Undertaker. Right? He has to keep a kayfabe, too.
Yeah.
No matter how many times I finish, I'll just keep rising up. You can't kill what is already dead. Well, wait, that kind of sounds like a bad thing if we're talking about erections.
Do you think that when Lesnar was impregnating Sable with his kids, that like in the corner of the bedroom was just Heyman talking shit the whole time? Come on, Brock!
It would be cool to fuck Brock Lesnar, because you would just have Paul Heyman just cheering him on the side. And if you somehow break Lesnar's dick, Heyman would just go, Brock! Eat, sleep, fuck, repeat. No. There you go.
Eat, sleep, doggy, repeat.
There you go. Well,
Luke Harper's thing would be, I'm looking for my bae, Wyatt. Don't worry, I want to cut myself too for that one. That was bad.
That's a shoehorning in.
Yeah, no, that's right.
No, but this is good. Wrestler Tinder profiles would be really good.
Luke Harper, I'll make her say, yeah.
All right, how about this? Here's a contest. Obviously,
like that bailout, KP.
We know we can probably think of funnier ones here, but we'll leave it to you guys. The funniest one that we read, you get a $10 Amazon gift card. How about that?
Yeah.
Give away a prize. The funniest wrestler Tinder profile, you get a $10 Amazon gift card from us on our own dime. By that, I mean mine. Funniest wrestler Tinder profile, you get a $10 Amazon gift card. How about that? We'll leave it out to the listener. You can. This will end by next week. How about that? By next week. For that, though... fun show tonight, guys. Oh. I want to thank KP Burke for actually showing up. It means a lot to see you here.
Can I plug some stuff? I'm sorry.
You sure can.
I appreciate it, man. I gotta. If I don't plug, I'll get in trouble.
We get it. Your buddies would think the Apollo.
That has been a really cool thing for me to get into open for him on the road a lot lately. But I got January 24th. I'm going to be on Roast Battle at the Stand again. It's my second time over there, so.
Louis J. Gomez hosts that.
Yeah, that's I'm going up against the guy, Jay Welch, really nice dude. He's just I'm looking forward. He actually kind of reminds me of Luke Harper a little bit in the looks department.
This is a roast battle. You're supposed to like shit on your opponent.
Yeah, but I'm like
things. You're going to lose.
I'm a really
man.
Nice guy, you know. I don't want to be that dude. But so I'm going to be over there at the stand roast battle. That's a free show if you want to come out to that one. And then also January 31st, me and my buddy Ken Krantz, we have our show at Gotham called Heathen. It's in the downstairs Gotham Lands. We have some awesome comics. We have Paul Verzi, who's just put out another special. He's actually the opener for at Madison Square Garden for Bill Burr. Yep. So we're really excited about that. We got some killer comics on that lineup. Emma Willman, who just got off Conan, I think. I mean, it's just, I would not plug shows ever if they weren't awesome shows to be a part of. So I appreciate you guys letting me do that. And then the rest of them are going to be VFW halls and AA conventions.
All right. Punch, upcoming gigs, upcoming anything?
Nothing yet.
Wonderful. All right, and I am at Hams Gruber on Twitter. He is at Michael R. Falcone on Twitter. He is KP Burke Sucks on Twitter.
Yeah, at KP Burke Sucks.
There you go. Ah, I actually remembered. I didn't think that was actually your profile still.
No, you're the man.
At BSR Wrestling on Twitter, at Brainstew Radio on Twitter. We have a lot of Twitter accounts to follow, but if you just follow the main one, the Brainstew Radio Network account, all the biggest updates will come from there. Again, funniest wrestler Tinder profile tagline gets a $10 Amazon gift card. Guys, that's good for maybe half of anything on Amazon, guys. So tweet us with your funniest Twitter hashtags, Tinder profiles, and
hashtag wrestler Tinder profiles.
That's a really long hashtag. But
a wrestler Tinder.
All right, maybe. We'll work on a hashtag. Follow at BSR Wrestling. We will see you next week. Same bat time, same bat network. See what I did there? This is Brainstew Wrestling.
Thanks
we will
for having
see
me,
you.
Guys. That was awesome.
No problem.
KP, it is an absolute pleasure, as always. We'll see you in the next five times you say you're going to be on and never show up, and then the sixth time you'll actually show up.
Once a year. I'm on once a year, guys.
We'll see you in 2018, then.
Yeah, he's the Brock Lesnar of guests on the show.
We'll see you next week, guys. 10 o'clock Eastern on BrainstewRadio.com. Thanks. Have a good night.